We've got government shutdown, day 17 now. And I have reached out to the United States Congressman from Spokane in eastern Washington. He's a Republican, a former state senator here in the Washington legislature in Olympia, Michael Baumgartner. And Congressman now, Michael Baumgartner, joins me on The Morning Ride. Congressman, thank you for coming on to talk to me about where things stand with this government shutdown.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You got a great show and a great bunch of listeners.
That's nice of you to say. And I'll give you a congenial go Cougs to start. You and I are both WSU Cougars, so we'll just get that out of the way up front here. One of our midday hosts, Lars Larson, always says he'll let you know if he has a dog in the fight. And in that regard, you and I are Cougs, so I will tell everybody that you and I are Cougs, so just so everybody knows. So we're 17.
We share the excellence.
Yes.
But go ahead.
The aspiration to excellence, for sure. Absolutely. That's what we're all about here. Well, we're 17 days into this government shutdown, and basically the news as of yesterday is nothing is going to change until next week. That's kind of how each one of these weeks is closed out. So what do you think is going to start to move the needle on this? We're now getting into this part where people are not going to get paychecks. Are the Democrats going to cave on this? Or are they just going to keep holding on for dear life?
Well, the shutdown is really being driven by the far left flank of the Democrat Party. You know, the Democrats and their base supporters just do not accept that President Trump is legitimately elected president of the United States. They have a very hard time comprehending how the American people returned Donald Trump to the White House. I, of course, think Donald Trump's doing a really great job across a number of fronts. But the Democrats don't. So they think that their leadership has not fought hard enough. You know, they think that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are very weak leaders. And so they've sort of created this shutdown as a tantrum to demonstrate to their base that they can fight hard. That's the real issue. You know, they will talk about various policies and this and that, but the real issue is the Democrats and their base. So, you know, what will break it free? Well, there's some optimism in Washington, D.C. that after they do their so-called No Kings rally this weekend, or as Speaker Mike Johnson calls it, the Hate America rally, that maybe that will have demonstrated things. And then, you know, I would look to the longest shutdown in history has been, I think, 35 or 36 days. So I think this thing might go 37 days. The Democrats are real into setting records on this sense. And so, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, Republicans have done the right thing. We voted to keep the government open in a reasonable way at current spending levels while a budget is negotiated. And we certainly aren't going to give in to metaphorical hostage taking or this temper tantrum of the Democrats.
So is this ultimately going to revolve around what happens with these Obamacare, Affordable Care Act tax subsidies? Is that going to be the kind of tipping point on all this? Is that what this is all going to boil down to, or is there something else that's been going on at the heart of the shutdown?
Well, just to remind your listeners, as I'm sure they know, they're well educated. But, you know, in the House, it only takes a simple majority to pass a budget. And, you know, in Republicans, we have a 220 to 215 lead. You know, we put a budget out in the Senate because the Senate filibuster rule, it takes 60 votes in the Senate. There are 53 Republicans, 47 Democrats. So far, they're looking for five more Democrats to come over. It's really an issue in the Senate. And so there is some discussion on the sidelines about, you know, what you do with health care. And there certainly are a lot of problems from Obamacare coming. But we can't make that the focus of opening up the government, because the precedent that would set, it would be kind of like if your toddler, you know, demanded an ice cream or they weren't going to do their homework, you know, and you give in to doing their ice cream. Well, the next thing you'll be giving them cotton candy and a pony and all the other stuff. And so there are healthcare discussions going on like there is every day in Washington, D.C. But that's really not what the shutdown is about. It really is about, you know, the Democrat base. And I think with Chuck Schumer worried about AOC and his base maybe challenging him to the Senate, I think they're going to have to find some other Democrats to come over and eventually vote, because I just don't think Schumer is going to be in a position to do that given his weakness of his leadership and his position.
Yeah, it looks like Democrats are trying to leverage health care related stuff to hold up their support from quote unquote the American public. But, you know, it's essentially their own politically aligned backers as it is already. And now the White House and Republicans are looking at this option of cutting federal workers or firing federal workers, which is kind of this loophole that gets created when the government goes into shutdown. Some of these decisions can become the discretion of the president. So we've got one judge that has ruled that some of these initial firings that were made, I think it was about 4,000 firings, are going to have to stop now. But is this something that Republicans might be able to use to ultimately leverage these job cuts as a way to get Democrats to go along with reopening the government just for the simple sake of the continuing resolution in the Senate?
Well, that certainly is, you know, what the White House is being very, very blatant about, very outspoken about. I mean, they do want the shutdown to finish. They're looking for leverage against the Democrats, and they're saying, hey, look, you know, if you're going to force us to do this, there's going to be job cuts in your areas. Of course, all of this has to be understood against a backdrop of $37 trillion in debt. And this year, the federal government is going to spend $7 trillion on the back of $5 trillion in tax revenue. So we can't continue to have 20% budget deficits. You know, essentially, we're broke, and people like to pretend that the federal government has an unlimited amount of money. You know, we do not. Certainly, we have important federal workers at places like our nuclear arsenal, you know, our power plants, and we need to keep those folks there. And there's going to be impacts on things like TSA agents and air traffic controllers, and of course, our military not getting paid potentially during this shutdown. So, you know, they're trying to right-size it, but the White House is looking for leverage. You know, as is Speaker Johnson. You'll note that the new congressperson who's been elected from Arizona, the Democrat, hasn't yet been sworn in. And Speaker Johnson has said, hey, we'll swear in when you return and Congress has a budget to pass. So he's looking for leverage as well, too. So, you know, this is not a game when it comes to real people being impacted by the shutdown. And it's about to get significantly worse as folks start missing paychecks. But we do need to have a reasonable approach to the budget and spending. And the White House is taking the necessary steps to look at all those issues.
Interviewing U.S. Congressman from Spokane and Eastern Washington. That's where his congressional district is. Republican Michael Baumgartner joining me here on The Morning Ride, talking about the government shutdown situation. And I heard this clip. This was actually posted by Patty Murray, U.S. Senator Patty Murray, on her own social media page. And it's her in giving a floor statement on the Senate floor. And then somebody in her office kind of edited it. So it sounds a little bit choppy, but it's Patty Murray complaining about the government shutdown and the possibility that federal workers might get fired over all of this. I want to play this for you and then kind of ask about how Patty Murray has behaved during this government shutdown. So listen to this, Congressman Baumgartner.
President Trump is choosing to fire as many people as he thinks he can get away with, to break as much of the government as is possible, to hurt the American people as much as he can, because he thinks he can use regular people as leverage. That's the cold, hard reality, and it is plain as day. That is why Trump is governing by a principle of maximum pain. It's not because he had to. It is because he wanted to. It is not because he's following any law. It is because he is ignoring countless laws. It's not because he held off on layoffs. It is because he is eager to continue to break our government, bend it to his will, and enrich himself in this process.
So there's what sounds like artificial intelligence Patty Murray on some sort of artificial intelligence AI-created video clip. But somebody in her office posted her little floor statement and kind of chopped out the silences, and it sounds a little funky that way. But Patty Murray has tried to pick a fight with you and another Republican congressman from Eastern Washington, Dan Newhouse. What's going on with her strategy to try and go after you two here during this government shutdown?
Well, I don't know, you know, quite frankly. You know, we've done our work in the House. It is now an issue for the Senate. You know, I think Patty is frustrated. And also, look, I mean, Patty Murray has been in the Senate in D.C. for 34 years. You know, Chuck Schumer has been there for 44 years. Combine the two of them, that's almost 80 years. And just quite frankly, I think they're cranky at the moment. And so she seems to have to come after me and other member of Congress from Washington State. I mean, ultimately,
she said that you and Newhouse were not even in Washington, D.C., that you are out on vacation somewhere.
Well, we're certainly back in district doing hard work, but, you know, the students that do their homework aren't the ones that go to detention, you know, and it was Patty and her leadership that left Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Much of her leadership was in Napa in wine country.
Yeah, Northern California, right?
Yeah, yeah, and even Chuck Schumer apparently came through Seattle to do fundraising. So I don't know what Patty is talking about. I mean, at the end of the day,
stones and glass houses.
Responsible thing. Well, that's right. She should do the right thing, open up the government. You know, and there's a little bit, obviously, there's going to be some back and forth these things. But, you know, the Senate Democrats, they're really missing an opportunity to work with President Trump. You've seen with his ability with Hamas in the Middle East, these peace deals he's negotiated across the country that, you know, President Trump is a deal maker, and there's a lot of issues that the that America needs addressed. And if the Senate Democrats had the capability to get out of their own radical ideology and their base's radical left ideology, they could actually work with the president and with Republicans on a number of issues that need to be solved. So Patty should take a step back and do the right thing. And but if she wants to continue to go at it with me, I'm happy to just send some shots back her way.
Follow up and engage as necessary, that sort of a thing.
Yeah. You know, but it's, you know, ultimately we do need to get the government opened up, and we need to balance this budget. $37 trillion in debt, a 20% budget deficit, that's not sustainable. And, you know, you saw what Republicans did earlier this year with the biggest tax reduction in American history, at the same time that Democrats in Olympia were giving the state the largest tax increase, you know, in history. And whether it is safe communities and cracking down on drugs and lawlessness, you know, in downtowns, you know, Republicans look at just have a much different value offering than do Democrats right now, when there's building infrastructure, support for our military. And so there is a real contrast between the two parties. And I think you're seeing it right now with how Patty Murray and the Senate Democrats are behaving with this government shutdown.
Right. Congressman, final question would be, do you have an end game or any sort of prediction or maybe another either, you know, milestone that we should be on the lookout for that might be able to create some movement on ending this government shutdown?
Well, I think that either they're going to, after this No Kings rally, I think they'll come around and do something next week. Other, if it's not that, I think they're going to go towards setting the record. You know, when Cory Booker seemed to get a lot of acclaim when he set the record for the Democrats speaking on the
longest
floor.
Longest speech or
the
something.
Senate, House House Jeffries Hakeem Jeffries did the same thing. So, you know, maybe their base is going to demand that they have the shutdown, the longest shutdown. But, you know, we'll see. We'll certainly be ready to work. We're working on the sidelines in any event, but we'll be ready to go when the tantrum stops.
Aha. Congressman Michael Baumgartner from Spokane, Eastern Washington, that congressional district on the east side of the state. He's a Republican and joining me here on the morning ride because I wanted to try and get some insight from somebody on the House Republican side about what's going on with the government shutdown and what's happening in Washington, D.C. Congressman, thank you very much for being on with me this morning. Go Cougs.
Anytime, go Cougs. I'd be
all right.
Happy to be on again.
Oh, and this reminds me. I'll plant the seed here since you're in an agricultural district there in Eastern Washington. You have a bill that would deal with synthetic opioids, and there apparently is a very potent and new synthetic opioid. I would love to have you back on in the near future, and hopefully once the government shutdown stuff starts to solve itself, and talk about that bill and talk about the concerns of this new synthetic opioid that you and some of your colleagues have identified.
Extremely important, and would love to work on that.
Very good.
Thank you.
We'll plan on something like that in the not-too-distant future. Republican Congressman Michael Baumgartner from Washington joining me here on the morning ride.